I would invite you to open your Bibles to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll begin our study there in Matthew chapter 6 and beginning with verse 25 in just a few minutes. Very delightful to have you here today. It's good to have Daryl and Audria and their family with us. We are in fellowship with Daryl as he preaches in Belen, New Mexico. And it's good to have Ford and Daryl Lee and Jet Bowen with us today, old members. And for those of you who are just our guests, we are very, very honored to have you. We appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate your interest in God, in spiritual things, in the God that we have come to worship, our Creator, our Maker, and to honor our Savior Jesus, who so willingly died for us, and who we call our Lord and our Master. I want to speak to you about the text that is before you this afternoon or this morning. And if you're reading through our reading schedule, following the schedule, we'll be reading through the Gospel of Matthew this month. And next week we would come to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We find the 6th chapter, the text before us is in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. And just before the text that is written that we're going to be reading in a few minutes, Jesus had made this observation. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And furthermore, in the 24th verse, he says, "No man can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Then in the 25th verse, he begins with this observation. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Three times he says, "Do not worry." You ever do that? Well, come on, be honest. We worry about everything. We worry about our health. We worry about finances. We worry about the family. We worry about our children. We worry about our spouse. We worry about the old folks. We worry even about worry. The reality is, I think it's been said, that worry is the all-American sin. Yet Jesus here gives us some very practical answers about worry. I suppose that it was in my college years, for some reason, that this passage really, really became one of my favorites. But I'm going to tell you, the more I read this text, the more I feel uncomfortable about what Jesus is really saying in the 6th chapter of Matthew. In fact, some of the things that he says are very pointed and somewhat indicative. And yet, I know that you and I, we need to hear what Jesus says in Matthew 6. So just what is worry, or what is anxiety? Well, I would suggest to you that it is a self-created disorder. It comes because of a poor choice that we make. It is created by us because we focus on the wrong things and on the wrong goals. In fact, Jesus says in this text that it is not natural for people of faith to worry. But the problem is that we focus on the material things rather than the spiritual things. Thus, Jesus makes this observation. Again, the text that we read a minute ago in verses 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. The problem is that we focus on the very things that Jesus is talking about here. A world that is extremely unpredictable. So what are your goals and what are your ambitions? Jesus is saying, primarily do not invest in this world. Because the reality is that this world is very unpredictable. The reality is that you cannot have enough safes, and you cannot have, sorry Mark and Homer, you cannot have enough insurance to totally protect you from the challenges and problems of this world. The fact is that the more that I invest in this world and the less that I invest in heaven, the more I'm going to worry, because this world is very unpredictable. Jesus is telling us that faith gives us the backbone to deal with it. So what does Jesus say about worry? Well, first of all, Jesus tells us that worry is something that is associated with what I would call material hypochondria. Notice what Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew in verse 25 again. In verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Then notice the question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What's Jesus saying? That the real essence of life is not in material things. Jesus said, sometimes what we do is we reduce life to the things that are not that important. And the reality is that the real essence of life is in heavenly things, but not in material things. But where do we put our focus? In fact, consider the culture that Jesus was speaking to here. You know, I'll tell you what we worry about. Well, let's see. For lunch, are we going to have Mexican food or barbecue? Well, let's see. What color of shirt am I going to wear today? Will it fit in with the crowd? But to the contrary, the culture that Jesus was addressing is whether or not I'm going to eat at all. In fact, Luke chapter, the third chapter, Jesus, John the Baptist made this observation. John the Baptist says, if you have two tunics and your brother has none, give him a tunic. What do you mean, two tunics? I have a tunic, excuse me, for every day of the month. And if my brother has none, tough. Isn't that our attitude? Isn't that our attitude? Be honest. The problem is that sometimes we worry because of material hypochondria. The reality is that we worry about things that really we shouldn't be concerned about at all. And furthermore, Jesus says that this worry is a moral merry-go-round. In the 27th verse, he makes this observation, "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Where does it get you? I mean, it can make you sick, it can give you ulcers, but the reality is it will not make you better. No progress here at all by worrying. And he says it's certainly not going to make you taller. Sorry, Tommy. You can worry about your height all you want. It's not going to get you any taller. I'll tell you, Tommy probably worries about it about that long, knowing him. But it's not going to make you any taller. And it's not going to give you any progress. And not only that, but he makes this observation. He says that worry is beneath man. It is beneath the very dignity of man. In the 26th verse, he says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they?" And furthermore, down in verse 28, "And so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." And here are the birds, the creatures that God has made, the lilies of the field, these dumb creatures, so to speak. And here is man, the very apex of God's creation, with the ability to reason, to think, and to plan, and to, more importantly, to love and to have a relationship with God. And he says these animals live and they don't worry about the future. He says the lilies of the field, they neither toil nor spin. And if these dumb creatures are cared for by God, how much more man, who is the very crown of his creation? It is beneath the dignity of man to worry. But more importantly, and this is where Jesus is very indicted. In the 32nd verse, he says, "Worry is not the way of people of faith. Worry is the way of the ungodly. For after all these things," verse 32, "the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." You see the contrast there? He says, this is what the Gentiles seek after. I mean, think about the Jewish audience in which he is addressing. These are the things that the heathens worry about, not people of faith. "And furthermore, do you not know that your heavenly Father already knows that you need these things? So quit acting like heathens." I'm going to tell you, I feel a little uncomfortable with that one. You know, I used to really like this passage, but I don't know that I like it anymore, because there's a lot of reflection coming back there showing all the blemishes. But I have to admit, I'm among the worriers at times. And Jesus said, people of faith don't do that. This is what the Gentiles do. So what is the answer? What are some of the cures for worry? Number one, you make a choice. Notice the text three times. Verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry." And furthermore, verse 31. He says, "Therefore, do not worry." And finally in verse 34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble." Three times he says, do not be anxious. You see, we are creatures of choice. Happiness is our choice. We're creatures of choice. Jesus said we are creatures that have the ability to reason. Therefore, Jesus said, you need to act this way. And what I'm telling you is that you need to stop worrying and stop being anxious about material things. Not only that, but along with that, he says, you need to observe. He says, again, in verse 28, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." He says, what you need to do is you need to look around you and notice all of the great things that God has made. Do you see not? Do not see the hand of God everywhere? So why are you worrying? A number of psalms that magnify God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Perhaps one of my favorite is Psalm 104. In Psalm 104, we find that the psalmist is exalting the providence of God. And he begins in verses 1 and 2 by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." And down in verse 10, "He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. And by them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his work." And then there is that well-known psalm written by the shepherd boy. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." You see the imagery? "He leads me beside the still waters." When you begin to worry, look around. Look at what God has made. And look at all that God provides for. Do you not understand that we serve this great Creator and Maker who is able to provide for this wonderful world? And not only that, we need to be ashamed when we worry. Jesus said, when you worry, what it says is it says something about your faith. He says in verse 30, "And how much more, will He clothe you, O ye of little faith?" What worry says, it says something about our faith. He says, the problem is your faith is too small. You need to have a bigger faith. Now, maybe I do need to look at myself. And maybe I do have a reason to worry. Maybe I need to be ashamed because there is sin in my life. And if that's the problem, I need to take care of it. But it may be that what I really need to do is I need to spend more time with God and His Word. You know, you guys know me, know how much I believe in daily meditation, daily reading, daily prayer. And I want to tell you, you come to the book often, and it'll strengthen your faith. You begin to see how God cared for Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. And how time and again in New Testament times God cared for and took care of His people. It'll build your faith. And you begin to see the glory and the grandeur and the magnificence and the power of God. And you begin to see all of His plans come together. The great promises that He made that He fulfilled. Ultimately, the promises that He has fulfilled for us spiritually in His Son. You begin to see men and women of faith that endured difficult and challenging times, and they ran the race and they made it. Jesus said the problem, your problem is, you don't have enough faith. That's the problem. Now, I'm going to tell you, while one finger's pointing back your direction, three pointing back at me. Friday morning when I'm getting ready for this sermon, I've got my fine little nice little quiet place where I'm going to meditate and I'm going to go over it for a little while and then put a PowerPoint together. Nancy calls and says, "There's water in the bathroom. It's everywhere. It's in the bathroom. It's on the carpet. It's everywhere." I won't go into the details how that happened. But I'm going to tell you something. The real problem when we worry is a failure to believe. And not only that, not only do I need to spend time in God's Word, but prayer as well. Paul said, be anxious in nothing. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And not only do I need to be ashamed, but what I need to do is I need to talk faith. Jesus said in the 31st verse, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Don't do that, Jesus said. Instead, what you need to do is you need to talk it up. I am firmly convinced that every one of us can have a change of heart. And it begins sometimes with the way we talk. Because you see, what we say says a lot about what's in our heart. Our speech reveals a lot about our value system. And if you want a change of heart, then start talking about faith. Memorize those passages that deal with the providence of God and how God cares for us. Memorize them and begin to talk about them to yourself and to others. Because if I talk about doubt, it increases my doubt. If I talk about worry, it increases my worry. But if I talk about faith, if I talk about how great and wonderful God is, it will increase my faith. And along with that same idea, not only do we need to talk faith, we need to trust God. That's exactly what Jesus said in the 32nd verse. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Let me read it again. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You believe that? You really believe it? You really believe the Father cares? I want to tell you, He is the best friend you can talk to. You know, I have a lot of people in this life when I have problems and challenges that I go to and confide in. But the problem is that there's sometimes a conversation problem there. You know, I have to bring them up. You know, I have to go through the whole history of all this. So I have to kind of bring them up to speed. I don't have to do that with God. He already knows. I don't have to bring Him up to speed. I don't have to have a moment of clarity. He understands what's in my heart. He knows my cares and my concerns. He is our best friend. He knows all our problems. And He knows how to solve them. And He's interested. And He's wise. And He's full of compassion. We just need to trust Him. That's what we need to do. We need to trust Him. And not only that, but we need to seek Him first, today. The little song that we sing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We need to make a decision today that God is going to rule in our lives. It's going to be God's way today. That is my motto. That is my mission statement. This is my goal for today. God's way. God is going to rule in my life right now. I need to get on to focusing on that goal. And when I do, you know what happens? The worry goes away. That takes care of the anxiety. As one fellow says, don't sweat the small stuff. And whether or not you're going to wear a blue tunic or a red one is small and insignificant in comparison to heaven and eternity. And I'm going to tell you, if you will focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness, there will be no regrets, because God will keep His promise. When you make that choice, you can face all of the lions and all the kings and all the giants that this world has to offer, because God cares. God is on your side. And maybe you are anxious about sin. You know, Jesus and God has an answer. Jesus and God offered His Son upon the cross so that you could have an answer for sin. And all you have to do is this. With a faith in Him, come and give your life to Him. Make Him the Lord and Master of your life. Turn away from your sinful life and yield to His will. Be buried with Him in baptism. And make a determination that from now on you're going to live for God. And you will never regret it. He'll forgive every transgression and every sin. And you can live with Him eternally. And there's nothing better than that. Nothing better than the fellowship that we enjoy with God. You believe that? Well, if you're not on His side, would you today make a step? If we can assist you in any way in making your life right with God, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. Would you come as we stand and sing the song selected? Would you come?